This episode is brought to you by Explore More Summit, an annual online conference that's free to attend, all about relationships, sex, kink, emotional intelligence, communication, and body acceptance. The spring edition of Explore More Summit is about to launch. If you head to exploremoresummit.com, you can be one of the early birds to sign up for this free online event. I can't wait to see you there.
You're listening to
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
With Dawn Sarah.
With Dawn Sarah.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode with Joanna Angel. I think you're going to enjoy this chat as Joanna and I talk all about her brand new Choose Your Own Erotic Fantasy book, Night Shift, that I had a chance to read. It is actually so fun. And Patreon supporters, I read an exclusive clip from the book. The book is all about a girl named Taryn who starts working at a sex toy shop. And it's in this like seedy, gritty sex shop with rooms in the back where people masturbate and fuck. And she's kind of new to this world. And Joanna Angel actually wrote herself into the book. Super meta. And there's this really, really fun scene where Joanna Angel actually strips in this sex toy shop and Taryn experiences Joanna Angel for the first time. So it's about a 20-minute read, and people who support the show at $3 or above get access to that, plus all of the other bonuses that release every single week with behind-the-scenes chats and bonus discussions with guests. So if you head to patreon.com/sexgetsreal, you can either support the show, or if you're already a supporter, check out that really juicy tidbit from Joanna's book. I also want to let you know, if you are an educator, an entrepreneur, in management at any kind of company, or an event coordinator, I am now producing other people's online summits, speaker series, symposiums, and conferences. I am booked all the way through the fall of 2018, but I do have some consulting spots available. So if you've ever wanted to make your own online event happen, especially from a social justice and feminist-based perspective of approaching business that's inclusive and fun, then file away that I can help you make that happen, including video production services and all kinds of fun stuff. So what's up for this week? Me and Joanna Angel. Joanna Angel is an award-winning adult film star, director, producer, author, entrepreneur, and CEO of the venerated adult studio Burning Angel Entertainment. Pacific Standard magazine stated she is one of the most powerful feminist icons in the adult industry. She's stormed mainstream media outlets, being featured in the New York Times, Forbes magazine, Vice TV, LA Weekly, and CNBC, just to name a few. She was inducted into AVN's Hall of Fame in 2016 and continues to make her mark on the adult industry and the world at large. So, I hope you enjoy my chat with Joanna that is coming up next. And don't forget to head to Patreon, where you can hear all about Joanna's book and a very juicy section of Joanna herself getting naked and making money, being a stripper in Night Shift. Oh, and one last thing. We are just over a week and a half away from the live taping of Sex Gets Real to celebrate passing 200 episodes. And we are just about a month away from 4 million downloads. So we are doing a double celebration. I am going to be recording a live episode online. There's about 40 seats available. And there are still seats available. So if you want to join in the fun, to ask me questions live and to be a part of the show, because what we record that night will become part of the show forever, I would love to see you there. There is a link in the show notes, and if you head to sexgetsreal.com for this episode, which is episode 204, you can put your name in the hat to get a spot, and I would love to help celebrate with you. So here I am with Joanna Angel. Welcome to Sex Gets Real, Joanna. I am so excited for this conversation.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We are chatting because I had a chance to roll around in your new book, Night Shift, A Choose Your Own Erotic Fantasy, which is pure delight.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The book is similar to those choose your own adventure type stories that lots of us grew up on. One of the things that I really, really appreciated about this story is that it's genuinely sweet and playful and full of curiosity and like awkwardness, but sexiness. And it just felt so organic and wonderful.
Well, look, you know, since my first novel was fiction, I didn't want to write from my own point of view. You know, I really wanted to get into the mindset of other people and write from their point of view, you know? But generally, like, I do, you know, I like when I make movies, whether it's porn movies or when I write stories. I've always been that way. I like happy endings. I like everyone to be happy. I like everything to feel, you know, kind of healthy and fun, and you know, even if things go to like a kind of twisted dark place, they all work out in the end. And I think that's, you know, that's just my own way of creating art. Like, why would I want to make a fantasy where things aren't a fantasy, you know? I know different artists have different ways of creating their art, and some people do like to get really, you know, dark and fucked up and twisted, and they get joy out of it. But I like to create a, you know, a quirky, happy, funny world where people grow and people love and people learn. And, you know, I'm like a interesting person, I guess, because I'm like, you know, I do porn and I'm very open-minded, you know, sexually, but I'm also like a hopeless romantic. So I really do. I like love stories. You know, I didn't just want to write an erotic novel that was just filthy with no romance, you know? Thank you. That was very important to me to show that.
Yeah.
And I knew that with the choose your own adventure format, I would have that ability. You know, I didn't want to have a choose your own adventure book. And every adventure is with the same group of people, you know, so I really tried to step outside my comfort zone and show a fantasy with so many different types of people.
Is there, so for listeners, when you get this book, there are so many wonderful avenues that you can explore with Taryn, who's the main character, and there are a variety of endings, and I'm wondering if you have a personal favorite.
No, and I made sure of that, you know, but every time I wrote, like a path is what I basically call each little adventure. Every time I wrote each adventure, I would get stressed when I was done. I was like, God, I really love that one. I don't want the book to have a favorite. You know what I mean? I don't want the book to be like one of them you really want people to read and the others you don't care about. So I would take like a good breather and like kind of cleanse my palate and like really like try to, you know, when I started a new path, I really tried to shake everything off and pretend the other paths didn't exist so I wouldn't have a favorite. I tried to put my own love into every single one.
You actually wrote yourself into the book, which is deliciously meta.
Yeah, that was a really fun thing to do. That was actually the last thing I wrote before I was completely done with the book. And I was just kind of like getting wacky with that one. You know what I mean? I was just like, all right, let's get weird here. And like, I don't know. That was just kind of like I was laughing hysterically the entire time I was writing that part.
You could tell there's some really funny little one-liners. And that's something else I appreciate about Taryn is like, she has a wonderful sense of humor, even when it's just her internal dialogue, these like one-liners, and it's great.
And look, Taryn really is me, you know, like I've been directing porn for many years and I still feel like a weirdo. Like, you know, like I think people assume me to be this like sexually just so open-minded, free person. But like sometimes I'm on set, you know, and there's like an orgy or a gangbang or like stuff going on in front of me. And I'm still like deconstructing it in my head the way I did when I was like 20 years old. Like a lot of times this stuff just doesn't make sense to me. And there's like always like a humorous dialogue going on in my head. That's like, what the hell is going on? How did my life get here? Like, do I want to be like this? Do I not want to be like this? Like, how do I become, like, I don't know. Like, I think I've always just been kind of awkward, and Taryn, like, let me like just be more honest about my awkward side. Whereas I feel like usually in life I'm trying to hide that awkwardness, you know?
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that pulled me in so much is the realness of that awkwardness and even some of her fears and insecurities.
And I appreciate that. And that's some of the reviewers. I maybe we live in a world now where everybody's just so sexually free, where some people were like, that was the only criticism I'm getting from reviewers. They're like, Taryn's innocence is a little bit ridiculous. Like, nobody's that innocent. And it's like, what are you talking about? She works at a sex shop where like people are like going in there and like doing insane things. Of course she's going to react a certain way. Like, how do you react when you're like in a room with people doing these things? Are you just completely nonchalant? You know, like they're like, nobody's that innocent. It's like, what kind of world do you live in?
I know. What kind of cynical, pessimistic place do you come from?
I know, because I'm in porn, you know, and like even I have that innocence about me. So I don't know what kind of crazy life you're living, but you know, it's just funny. But yeah, people are like, that's just completely unbelievable. Nobody's that innocent. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, see, like that's exactly what just pulled me in and made me feel so much like I was invested in the choices she was making. I was genuinely curious about what would happen if she made this decision or that decision, and I got to like learn and grow with her. It felt very organic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Taryn, who is the main character, has gotten a job at this sex shop that's owned by this older woman, Sandy. And the sex shop has some rooms in the back where people can fuck and strip and masturbate. And this seems to be a dying kind of business. We've got, I know, like great big box chains, and then kind of the newer feminist shops that are very well lit and very organized.
Right. Did you actually get to the part of the book where she goes to the Hustler store?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a really like kind of quirky, funny chapter where she's like, she goes to the Hustler store and she's just so confused and so shocked that there's like, you know, millennials with like tattoos working there and like a place that makes lattes inside the store and people asking you like, oh, would you like a different size dildo? Like what kind of orgasms do you have? We have everything, you know, like, and she's like so confused by the like legitimacy, like where it feels like you're in a high-end clothing store, but it's a sex shop because the only thing she knows is this kind of hole in the wall strip mall. And I'm glad that you acknowledge that. And I really wanted to point that out in the book because as somebody who's traveled around the country and I've been to so many different kinds of stores, and I love the feminist sex shops, the Babelands, the Good Vibrations, the Hustler stores. I mean, they're amazing. And it's crazy to think that those kinds of stores exist when 20, 30 years ago, the only sex shops that existed were, you know, like things that people were very embarrassed to be seen at, you know, and now it's like they have events that you have, you know, like very higher up people in the city coming to, you know, to the stores and buying vibrators for their wealthy wives and whatever, you know. But it is a dying part of the industry. And I think with Choose Your Own Adventure, it's kind of like a throwback to the 80s, you know, and the concept of a store that is like this is getting kind of old school. You know, these kinds of stores are like the, I don't know, the Tower Records of porn. and a lot, I love these stores. A lot of them are family owned, you know, these small stores that are in these podunk towns in the middle of a strip mall, you know, that are open 24 hours. There's not a lot of them left. And I think they're very special. Whereas I think that somebody might think that a person like me would only be a champion for these feminist chains that kind of specialize in sex education and stuff like that. There's definitely a charm to these types of stores. And I think a lot of people learn a lot about themselves in these types of stores, you know? You might not have a person like Billy coming into like Babeland or something. Right. They might be intimidated, you know? And I'm not knocking those stores. I just wanted to capture the importance of these kind of seedy, dirty stores that people don't give enough credit to, you know? And the way they're run and the way they're managed, I think as a small business owner myself, I've always had like a love for these small businesses, you know?
Yeah. The day I turned 18, I went to a strip mall that had a little dark sex shop.
And I know. And you know that that's going away because literally the first porn that I saw was when I was 18, and that just, I don't think that happens anymore.
No.
And it was such a rite of passage. Like, I turned 18 years old. I'm going to go into this porn store and buy, like, a vibrator and, like, a copy of Hustler magazine and like, some DVD. You know? Like, that doesn't exist anymore. And it's kind of sad, you know?
It is. I remember spending a significant amount of what I thought was secret time standing in the back of the Blockbuster where they had the curtained off adult section and trying to like catch peeks inside the
curtain. I know. I remember that. I remember going to Blockbuster with my parents and being like, what's in there? Why is there a curtain? And my dad's like, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. And it was like, so exciting. Like, what's going on in there? Like, I really wanted to know, you know? And it's so crazy that's like dating myself now to speak of that, you know? Because all tangible, like, sex things have kind of gone away, which is, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Got to adapt with the times. But, I really wanted to capture the intricacies and the beauty and the filth inside these stores. And I did, I talked to so many different people that did work at stores before I wrote this book. Cause even though I've been to a handful of stores just from doing signings and stuff like that, I didn't work at one, you know, I didn't spend 12 hours there. I'd be there for a couple hours and hang out with my fans and leave. So I really tried to get to know, like, go deep inside the mind of the people that actually worked at these stores. And it was really fun to find out what's common in these stores, you know?
From your time doing signings and tours and having a chance to pop into some of these places around the U.S., do you have any favorite memories or stories that you like reflecting back on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess everything that happened was pretty standard, but the book in the store was actually based off of a store that I went to, and it was in Tampa, Florida. Mm. And I do remember, like, it was a family-owned store, and the owner of the store was making me her own moonshine in her bathtub that she gave me. And it was amazing, you know, and she was so funny, and it was like this grandma that knew everything about dildos, and I was like, I loved it, you know? And her granddaughter and her granddaughter's husband worked there, and they were all like, oh, don't mind her, she's crazy, you know? And I was like, no, I love it. And they did have rooms there that people came in and had sex in, you know? And I was fascinated by the people coming into the store. So it really was based off of it. And I had been done with my signing. I remember they were like, okay, you're done. Do you want to ride back to the hotel? And I just hung out at the store for a while because I was like so fascinated by all the people coming in. And the store, I remember, had this message board where people would post on the message board, like old school kind of 90s internet style message boards or early 2000s. And people would write on there what their fantasies were, and then they would come to the store and hope that, like, somebody would make their fantasies come true. And it was really crazy to watch it happen. Wow. And I was like, whoa, this is so cool. It exists.
Yeah. Something else that I really appreciated about Taryn that I think is a little uncommon is, even though Taryn is new to the sex shop, she doesn't have any kind of formal education around like porn or sex toys, there's something about her that is not ashamed of her pleasure. She's not conflicted about whether or not she deserves it.
Yeah.
She may not know where to get it, but she allows it.
No, that's how I was too. Like I was very sexually inexperienced, not because I thought sex was wrong. I didn't know how to go about it, you know? Like that's a tough thing to do. And I think that's another reason why I really loved porn. I was able to explore my sexual desires in this controlled environment, you know?
Yeah.
So it wound up working out pretty well for me. But yeah, you know, she wasn't like prude. She just was shy, you know? Sex requires another person to explore it with, you know? So yeah, she wasn't ashamed and she wasn't closed-minded. She wasn't some like, you know, I try to make references in the book. She's like an activist, you know, just like I was growing up. She's like a kind of left-wing quirky person that listens to weird music and stuff like that. You know, there's just, she doesn't know how to make the sexual part of her weirdness come to life because she needs other people to do it with. And she's kind of a hermit, you know? So the store was the perfect place because it came to her.
That's right.
Just like porn for me. You don't have to go out into a bar to look for a weird sexual experience when you're in porn. It's your job. Yeah, exactly.
So I know humor is something that's really important to you. It's a big part of the book and it's a big part of the porn that you create and are a part of. And laughter has been a really important part of my sex life, but I know a lot of people take themselves very seriously.
I think especially these days, I think people take themselves too seriously when it comes to anything. Like it's a difficult time, but you know, I think humor is important and you have to be able to laugh at yourself. And yeah, I do think a lot of erotica takes itself way too seriously and doesn't acknowledge all the awkwardness that comes along with exploring yourself sexually. Like, I feel like everyone, and you know, I'm not general, you know, a lot of people, I've tried to read through a lot of erotica before I wrote this book, and it just seems like everybody has this sexual knowledge and experience where they're just ready to go and they know everything about getting wet and having orgasms and this and that. And it's like, you know, not everybody's born with this knowledge, you know?
Yeah. We have to kind of fuck up our way towards
you
it.
You do. Everybody's a virgin once upon a time. Everybody's bad in bed for a little while, you know? And like, it doesn't just come naturally. It comes with experience, you know?
What are some of the ways that you kind of tap into your creative humor when you're creating, when you're sitting down to like film or write a script or even write the book? Like, how do you kind of keep yourself feeling like open to the possibilities of the absurd and the humorous?
I just, you know, it's just the way I've always kind of looked at the world. A lot of people always say that, like, I remember in my like creative writing classes in college, they would say that writers always had like a fifth sense. Like every time you go somewhere, you're kind of looking at people and analyzing them and making up your own stories about them. Like I've always done that. And fortunately, my life has always led to being around, probably because I've always been a writer. Like my life has always been being around lots and lots of really different people that fascinate me. I mean, between my family being like religious Jews to like being super heavily involved in like the New York City and New Jersey punk scene, you know, to like being in academia and college with all the other, you know, kind of academic nerds, you know, and then, you know, going into porn and like knowing people in the porn industry that come from so many different places and do so many different things and, you know, and all, having so many friends in the music industry or just having, you know, I started to become friends with like a lot of people that work in like, you know, that are, what do you call that? They work in extreme sports and stuff like that, you know, like skateboarders and BMX people and tattoo artists. And, you know, I have this vast knowledge of experience, you know, and then I was a stripper for a really long time. So I was constantly just interacting with everyone from like a horny kid that just turned 18 that wants to go to a strip club on his birthday to like a billionaire businessman, oil sheik coming in looking for a good time and everything mm-hmm. and anything in between, you know? And I've always just been fascinated by people, you know, and people are not always what you think they're going to be. I've found connections with people along the way that I never thought I'd be able to connect with, you know, like, and I've found that people that I thought I'd have everything in common with, I actually have nothing in common with. And, you know, like, that's people just inspire me, you know, and the life I've led and the people I have, the vast knowledge of people I have to choose from they all inspire me, you know? And sometimes when I was feeling, I mean, the good thing is the internet now is just, everybody speaks so loudly all the time. So when I was feeling a little brain dead, especially with the Billy Bonnie character, because that character is someone that's pretty far off from anyone I've ever met in life. I read a lot of like Facebook pages, Twitter pages, like I wanted knowledge from real people, not from like books, not from like texts and studies. Like I was like, I'm going to find a crossdresser on Facebook and just read through their friends, see what they do. What do they eat? Where do they sleep? Where do they hang out? What do they do? Like different blogs and stuff like that, just from hearing real insight from real people really helped me with writing this. So it was pretty cool. It's like you have the world at your disposal.
Yeah. And I think what's really beautiful about Taryn is how open she is to finding out who people are and what they're interested in or what they're curious about and allowing them to be that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Yeah. She really, she was like hungry for more, you know,
because you have such curiosity about other people and, observing them and then creating with other people. I know that you've had a chance to direct hundreds of people.
Yes.
In the videos that you do. And I'm wondering, like, what are some of the ways that you, create safe environments and kind of make those relationships that can be in kind of new or scary circumstances, a place where people want to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I've made so many pornos and the inspiration for every single porno I make is always different. You know, it's very hard to create. I mean, in porn, you're some people don't realize how much work porn directors have to do. I'm one of the smaller studios and I make 24 movies a year, and that most of my friends in the industry are making way more than that, you know? And, a lot of times it's based around a girl. A lot of times it's just, I don't know, based on a fleeting thought I had. Sometimes I just see like a sexy outfit somewhere. Like, I don't know, like I'll be like, oh wow, that girl walking across the street looks hot in yoga pants. Maybe I'll make a whole yoga pants movie. I mean, like a porn can be inspired from anything, you know, like, which is pretty cool. You know, like I made like a workout movie because I've been working out a lot and I think it's sexy when girls go to the gym and like their bodies and you know what I mean? And yeah. Get in touch with that. Or, you know, on the other end, I've made movies about really curvy girls because I think curvy girls are beautiful and hot and, you know, and I don't know. It just comes from anything. And sometimes I make very long scripted features that, you know, are based on just, you know, quirky ideas that I write stories about. So, you know, my inspiration kind of comes from everything. When you have to create that much, like you have to really be able to just get inspired from everything. Yeah.
I can't imagine. Like 24 seems like so many.
24 movies, and every movie has 4 or 5 scenes in it. Yeah. It's a lot. And every time I'm done with one, I have to come up with the next one. So,
oh my God.
You know. Yeah, so it's a lot. So that's why sometimes in porn we just need the striptease, you know.
Right. Sometimes they're
like, you know what, you are a beautiful girl and you don't have to say anything. You're just gonna walk into a room and be your sexiest and suck this dick, and that's it, because I do not have it in me to write a script for today. And that's why sometimes you need a striptease. You can't come up with 24 times 5, whatever that is. Yeah. Can't come up with that many different scenarios. And sometimes it's very difficult. I'm like, God, I think I have thought of every single scenario in the history of time that where two people walk into a house and have sex, because most of the time all I have is a house to work with. It's very rare that I get a bar or an office or something like that, which, you know, and even when I get that, that's limited, you know, because you're like, okay, well, I have this bar set, but there's not going to be people in the bar. How many scenarios can you come up with? Oh, I'm closing up. And like, you really got to, I'm like, how many more scenarios can I think of two people sitting in a house that are strangers
and now we're
that aren't going to fuck? Like, oh my God. It's so crazy. People don't realize how much has to go into it sometimes.
Yeah. I admire the endless creativity that requires, because, man, I have trouble with a blog post sometimes.
I know, what you're it's doing true.
Takes a lot more. One of the things that I know you've talked about that you really enjoy about the way that you film is that you enjoy the glamour, the heels and the makeup and the outfits.
I do, and I'm glad you appreciate that, because I know sometimes, and it doesn't matter, everybody to each his own, you know, but yeah. I know sometimes in the kind of feminist porn community, they've deemed my porn as not feminist because I like heels and makeup and glamour and I like the rock starness of porn, you know? Yeah. I really like, it's kind of funny, you know, 'cause even though the body type and just the image of the porn star in the 90s is completely different than everything I stand for. But I loved that about, I loved 90s porn. I loved the glamour of it, you know? And I know some of the, I mean, everything has to get put into a category and you mm-hmm. can't choose your own fame. And I have respect for everybody making what they want to make and they need to go where they need to go. But I know sometimes a lot of the porn that gets put into the feminist porn category, they want girls to be as natural as possible. They want the sex to be as natural as possible. And it's like, I don't know. I think there's no way that a gangbang is natural. I don't know. Or maybe not in my life. I don't know. So let's make it as much of a fantasy as we can possibly make it. You know, let's have some extra loud orgasms and moans and yells. Let's put on as much makeup as you want and put on an outfit you'd never wear to the supermarket. Like, I don't know. I think it's okay to have some porn that's not real. And that's my own way of exploring my own sexuality and my own feminism and stuff like that. And I'm glad that you appreciate that, because I know I've been kind of knocked for it. Like, oh, well, just because girls are, you know, wearing makeup and getting really dressed up and coming down a glamorous staircase and walking into a room and getting railed by someone, that's not feminist because it's not capturing their reality, you know? Mm. But I like stepping into a different persona and becoming the sexual superhero, you know? Yeah. I like that. And I think Taryn liked that too. I think the store opened her up, you know, to become a different person she couldn't be in the confines of her own world, you know?
I wear my femme armor anytime I'm on video. I got my falsies and my makeup and my pretty dresses. You know, it's part of what makes me feel ready to show up.
And, yes. And yeah, yeah, sometimes you want to step into a different zone, you know? Yeah,
exactly. I've had many different sex workers, porn performers, porn creators on the show, and they all have unique stories and experiences. And one of the things that I've grappled with many guests is how so many of the conversations that happen around porn and sex work tend to be super reductionist and polarizing, where it's like everybody's vilified, everybody's a victim, or everybody's empowered and it's the best thing ever every day.
It's
and
true.
And I'd love to know, like, what do you wish more people either knew or just kind of thought about when it came to your experiences?
I think the most misleading thing from doing a lot of media about the porn industry is that everybody thinks we are all the same. Everybody thinks we all came from the same place. We all do porn for the same reasons, that we all get paid the same amount of money, that we all walk into a building every day called porn and report to the same boss. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think people are like, oh, well, is the porn industry doing this? Is the porn industry doing this? It's like, there's no one person in charge of the porn industry. The porn industry is a business comprised of many, many, many small businesses, and everybody has their own careers and their own things. And there's so many different types of people in it. You know, maybe in the 90s, there was only four companies and everything was kind of similar, but it's not like that anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And I think people need to understand that there is like struggle in porn and success in porn, and there are good days and there are bad days. And it's not like every single day I wake up where I either feel completely on top of the world or completely degraded. Like sometimes a day is just another day, just like any other job, you know, like I think everybody thinks of porn in such like extremes where we can't just be normal, you know? And, yeah, there's a lot of people in the porn industry. There's not just people, like people talk to me and all they want to know about is like what goes on set. Like, do you know how much work has to get done in the porn industry that doesn't happen on set? You know, the people that do marketing, the people that do coding, the people that do editing, the people that work in distribution, the people that, you know, there are people that work in the porn industry that never actually see the porn being made. You know, yeah. There's so many behind the scenes people that, I think people just kind of take away from the fact that this is actually like a real industry that operates like many other industries where there's products and there's marketing and there's selling and there's distribution and there's everything and anything in between, you know? And I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know?
I get a lot of questions, especially in the past like 6 months, from women who are considering either going into porn or camming or stripping or some form of sex work, and they are often asking for advice. And I wonder if you might want to offer advice to someone who's thinking about, you know, maybe moving into this space. If you have any words of wisdom.
Oh, who knows? I mean, you know, just like you can't expect anything. You have to know. This is entertainment, like any other facet of entertainment. There are people who succeed, there are people who fail, and then there's everything and anything in between. You know, there are some people who do this for a year, there are some people who do this for their whole life. There's some people who love this, and there's some people who hate this, and this isn't for everyone. Don't just do it for quick money, you know? If that's all you're thinking of, maybe try stripping. You know, like the porn industry is like a real industry. You know, this is a real job with a hierarchy, and you have a boss. You have multiple levels. There are like multiple levels of success and stuff here. Like, you know, I think if you want some quick cash, maybe try camming, maybe try stripping, you know, stuff like that where, you know, especially stripping, you could go in for a night of work, and if you hate it, you never have to go back, and a lot, and the world won't know about it. You know, yeah. Once you do a porn, it's on the internet forever.
Yep.
And you need to know that, you know, mm-hmm. And, you need to really think about that. So I don't know if that was good advice or bad advice or practically talking somebody out of it, but
I think it's really practical. And I think it's important too, you know, I think that there's this kind of, assumption that it's quick, easy money.
And you know, for some people it is, but like anything, I mean, this is, you know, this is a job, and what you're going to do is in the porn industry. I mean, it's going to exist forever. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you're not really sure about it and you're nervous, stripping is the one part of sex work that could just sort of disappear.
Yeah.
And camming being the next step, even though like I know a lot of cam shows get recorded and stuff like that. Like there's so much camming going on that the chance of people finding it if you only do it once is pretty slim, you know? Mm-hmm. Think about every single person you've ever met in your whole life finding out about it before you do it.
That's really what's going to happen.
I mean, when girls tell me, oh, I don't think my parents are going to find out. It's like, they're going to find out.
Yeah.
They will. It's impossible. Your ex-boyfriend's going to find out, you know? Like all of your friends are going to find out. Teachers you went to school with are going to find out. And you have to be prepared. Are you okay with that? And people are going to criticize it. Not everyone's going to love it. People are going to be uncomfortable about it. And, you know, you're going to lose friends over it. Like, even when my husband, my husband's in the porn industry now. He wasn't when we first met. Just when he started being public about our relationship on his own Facebook page, he had, like, friends of his, like, be like, I can't believe you. I don't want anything to do with you anymore because you're, like, associated with the porn industry. Like, people are weird about porn, you know? And these were people you wouldn't expect. They were not, like, pastors and preachers and politicians. These are just friends of his that just didn't like porn, and you have to expect that. That's going to happen, you know? So you have to be prepared for that kind of thing.
The industry has changed so much because of technology over the past like decade or two. And I know from VHS films to, you know, those late night packages you could order on cable to DVD and now to streaming. I'm wondering, like, as you kind of look ahead at where we are and what's next, is there anything that really excites you or that you're really looking forward to or that you just really dislike about the changes and kind of where we are?
Every industry changed. People are like, the porn industry's changed so much. It's like, well, so has music. So has, I don't know, my dad's a consultant for a living and that industry has changed. You know, everything's changed. Yeah. The journalism industry changed. Radio's changed. I mean, we wouldn't be doing this podcast right now if, you know, if the world of radio, you know, people used to only listen to AM, FM radio and that's changed drastically, you know, that's going to happen with any industry. You know, obviously being on the producer end, I did not know when I first got into porn that the value of a porn was going to go down so much. And that's a hard thing to deal with because creating a porn, the price has gone up and the value of, you know, of people paying for porn has gone down. Mm-hmm. So that's a very difficult thing. And I don't know how to deal with that. I'm just trying to adapt the best way I possibly can. But there's nothing I can do about it. I can't whine and cry and make that go away. That's happened with every facet of entertainment. You know, people don't pay for music the way they used to. People don't pay for Hollywood movies the way they used to or TV shows. Everybody views media in a different form now. And I just got to adapt with it. And I'm kind of glad I caught the tail end of people still paying for things.
Yeah.
It gave me a good foundation to start with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are you going to do? So I hope that this book leads to some new things. Like I'm trying to just create more tangible products.
Yeah.
You know, I made a whiskey, that you can buy. It's called Doom's Whiskey. And that's something tangible. I wrote a book. I made a boner pills, as you call them. It's called Bone Master. You can find it at bonemaster.com. You know, I'm trying to just branch out into as many ways as I possibly can.
I read a review of the Doom's whiskey and they said that it had these wonderful like caramel smoky undertones. What was it like creating a whiskey?
It's been really interesting. I mean, my husband he was the one who was like a mixologist before. So he knew a lot about that. I kind of looked into the business side of the alcohol things. He was the one that did the actual recipe for it. It's been really fascinating to learn about, you know, the product is still new. It only launched last year on Friday the 13th in October. So it's still new. I'm still learning about it, but people love the whiskey and it's pretty cool. And it's nice. Everyone in my family bought a bottle for the holidays and stuff and they all really like it. It's nice for me to have something I can share with people in my family. You know, I think they're happy about it too.
Is night shift something that you feel like you can share with the family that they'd appreciate?
Because my publisher told me a day after the book came out, she was like, oh, you're only a handful, you know, you're less than 100 copies away from being an Amazon bestseller. And I got really excited. So I called my dad. I was like, Dad, can you buy like some copies of the book? Help me be like a best-selling author. And he was like, okay. And he was like, should I read the book? I'm like, no, no, Dad. You know, I've had some like my cousin, I have cousins who have read the book, you know, because it's not about me. Mm-hmm. So it's not that weird, but still like, I don't want to picture my dad reading an erotic novel. I don't, that's weird. So.
No, Dad. No. It's
yeah.
Okay.
No, don't read it. Maybe give it to other people to read. For a minute, I was like, is it not weird? Because it's not a memoir. But I'm like, nah, I don't want my dad reading stories about people getting fucked. And like, you know, I don't want to live in a world where I think my dad knows about, you know, threesomes and anal and fucking vibrators and dildos. And yeah, I don't want to know about that side of whatever he may or may not know about that.
Keep it to yourself, Dad.
Yeah. We don't have that kind of relationship.
So because you've completed Night Shift, which I have to admit, like, as someone who has it on my bucket list to write a fiction book at some point, this was so ambitious to have all these different possibilities and storylines. Are you interested in writing another book?
I am totally interested in writing another book. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I mean, obviously it's a big undertaking, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'd love to. I mean, look, I've always wanted to be a writer ever since I was younger. It's always been my passion and I was an English major in college with a creative writing concentration. I've always excelled in my writing classes. I even won some like writing contests when I was like literally in kindergarten with like a short story contest. I used to do open mic nights for my poetry and always, you know, went to a lot of writing workshops just after school. It's always been a big part of my life that I don't think a lot of people really knew about, because writing is like a weird hobby, you know? It's like, you can't really show people like, hey, read my new story until you have a book published. It's not like people who are in a band where they can just throw something up on SoundCloud and be like, hey, listen to this, and people will listen. Like, somebody has to really be invested in your story, for, you know what I mean, for you to read it. Like, so it's just not a very, like, the most public passion to have, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I definitely want to pursue it. I don't want to stop. I'm proud of this book. But I got to just think of what I can do next. I love this book so much where I'm like, what could I do that would be as good as this? I don't know. But I feel that way about my movies sometimes. Every time I'm crazy, you know, like every time I make a movie I'm really proud of, or every time I come home from like the AVN Awards with awards, I'm happy for a good hour. And then I get really depressed because I'm like, oh no, how am I ever going to top this? This is the best thing I'll ever do. And now it's downhill from here and I'll never do it. It's like, that's just constantly my brain, where I'm always happy when I complete something. And then I get stressed that I won't be able to compete with what I just did, you know?
I completely understand that.
it's a stressful thing.
Well, I'm wondering, as someone who really loves writing and reading, are there any authors or books that you're obsessed with?
Man, I need some new books to read. Some of the older books that I read, you know, when I was younger, I always really liked, she was like Jack Kerouac's girlfriend, and she wrote a couple books. Her name was Joyce Johnson. I always really liked her. I always really liked, you know, kind of the humor writers like Jonathan Ames and David Sedaris. Mm-hmm. They always, you know, like really inspired me. Just they're very funny, quirky, like inner dialogue. But I need some new book obsessions. I got a few good recommendations along the way. When I was at a reading, I'd always like ask the bookstore owners like, oh, is there any like new book you'd recommend? So I came home with a couple books that I have to find time to read.
Yeah, finding time with a schedule like yours, I imagine, is very tough. It is.
It's difficult, and reading needs your full undivided attention, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would love it if you could tell people how they can buy the book and also where they can find you online and maybe pay for some of your porn.
Yeah, please pay for my porn. You could go on burningangel.com, and that's where most of my porn is. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Just my name is Joanna Angel. Both accounts are verified, so I'm very easy to find. And buy the book. It's called Night Shift. You can find it on Amazon. There's actually several books called Night Shift, but only one Night Shift by Joanna Angel. So make sure you go on there and buy it. I'm sure everybody in this world buys a bunch of stupid shit on Amazon every day that they never even use. So when you're buying, you know, some new dog food or weird crystals or bras and panties on sale or some kind of bizarre nail polish that costs 99 cents, just throw my book in your cart as well, you know?
Yeah, and leave a review.
Yes, and leave a review. And be honest about your review. If you don't like the book, I'd like to know. If you like the book, I'd like to know.
Yeah, I will be writing my review this weekend after I finish.
Thank you.
Yeah, the other half of the threads that I didn't get through yet. But man, I had so much fun. My husband and I took turns reading it to each other at night. It was super fun. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here with us, Joanna. I will, of course, have links to all of the things in the show notes for this episode, as well as a link so that people can go put that book in the cart.
Thank you
so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so glad you've been enjoying the book. It's really been a dream of mine to read a book, to write a book that people actually read. It's crazy. Yeah. It still doesn't feel real.
Well, thank you to everybody who tuned in. Be sure that you grab a copy of Night Shift and that you head to burningangel.com for some super sexy fantasy goodness for your eyeballs and all your other parts. I will, of course, talk to you next week. This is Dawn Sarah with Joanna Angel. Okay. Bye.
Thank you so much.